This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The 2014 North American International Auto Show is right around the corner. Reporters from around the world will descend on Detroit's Cobo Center next week for the media preview days. The huge black tie charity preview is on Friday the 17th, and the doors open to the public on Saturday the 18th. With that in mind, we wanted to talk about what the upcoming year might bring for the auto industry. And for that, we turn to Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com. Welcome back, Michelle, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Glad to be back.
And we're joined by Michigan Radio's automotive reporter, Tracy Samilton. Always good to have the two of you together.
Howdy.
So let's start with the overall health of the U.S. auto industry as we start this new year. Michelle, I'll start with you. What are you expecting in terms of both sales and profits for 2014?
Well, we think it'll be another good year. 2013 came in 15.6 million vehicles sold. That compares to 14.5 million in 2012. And then we think that it could be as much as 16.4 next year. So another really good year. It'll be a strong year for trucks, and that all means better bottom lines.
And the only warning sign there, and Michelle and I have talked about this a lot, is what's going on in the supplier industry. They are really having trouble keeping up with this demand right now. They haven't hired as much as perhaps they should have. They're competing with the automakers for engineers right now. Hmm. There's an engineer shortage, and their facilities haven't been invested in as much as perhaps they should have. And so there's a real concern that we might have a part or two come up short, and you can't ship a car without all the parts.
So that will be something to watch for. And again, that's just a matter of businesses almost too good for where after they ratcheted down during the recession.
That's right.
Right. It's like a rubber band, and the tiniest thing could make it snap.
Where would you both say the big three would be in terms of a comeback? If you were graphing it, are they at the apex? Are they still ascending?
They're close, I think. You know, if Michelle's prediction is correct for 2014, that is very close to the pre-recession level of auto sales. I would say the great thing about it is that this time they're not using incentives nearly as much to reach that level.
Good point.
I would agree. I think that while 16 million is kind of this magical number milestone that everybody looks at, and I think we'll surpass that next year or this year. And that the last time we did that was 2007. There were some years before that we were at 17 million, 18 million, very artificially driven by incentives and ridiculously available credit beyond what was sensible. So I think we are on a far healthier state. And remember, when we were selling 17 and 18 million vehicles a year, the big three were struggling to make a profit.
That's right. They were losing a lot of money. You're right.
Now, we should note any good news in terms of sales and profits is thanks to the North American market and absolutely no thanks to Europe. Mm. Is that true, Michelle?
That's absolutely true. Europe has been a real drag on any global automaker. Look at Fiat. Thank goodness they have Chrysler. So, but things may be starting to turn in Europe. It's going to take a little bit of time, but it looks like we've hit the bottom and we'll move up. And it looks like, you know, sales around the globe are going to be better next year. So that should be better for everybody, or you know, all the global automakers, of which the big three are included.
I would be interested to see whether anyone is successful in closing plants in Europe. Because they still have too many, way too many. So they just, you know, the political environment there for closing plants is different, and it does make it really difficult to come out of that recession.
Something to watch for in 2014. Well, let's move on to, we do our top 10 list. We're moving to item number two, and that's people. And let's start with GM, as we see Mary Barra, the first woman to achieve the CEO spot for an American car company. What do you expect to see from her in 2014, Michelle?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I'm not quite sure what we'll expect to see. I think we'll see General Motors moving along as it has been. And let's remember, along with Mary Barra being named the first female CEO of any auto company, including General Motors, in the same month, GM shed all the government ownership. So we truly are at a different kind of General Motors, and we'll see where that new GM goes.
I think if You know, if we're expecting Mary Barra to be this charismatic CEO, we may be disappointed. She's a very low-key type of person. She's very similar in a way to Dan Akerson, who was a very low-key person. Sometimes the auto beat folks, you know, the media are like expecting this. They love to write about the CEOs. So there's going to be a little bit of disappointment there, perhaps.
But if she's getting it done.
If she's getting it done, that is what matters.
Moving on to item number three, and that's that roller coaster called Tesla, which really sets the stage for us to have a conversation about how EVs are doing. Now, first of all, Tracy, take us back. Tesla's had a real roller coaster ride. What's been going on?
Well, their stock has been, most people agree, just ridiculously high for the value of the company. Just way, way overvalued. And you know, a lot of people have been expecting to see a crash. We haven't seen that, but we have seen it coming down and going back and forth. And then we've had these, how many fires, Michelle?
Two or three.
Yeah.
Right.
And of course, you know, fires happen in regular cars, but when you talk about an electric car, it gets a huge amount of media attention. And then there's Elon Musk, who runs Tesla, and he will create media attention if he isn't getting any. He will make sure he gets some. So it's such a tiny company to be getting such a huge amount of attention.
And if we talk about EV sales, why are they not good? Is it the fact that the technology isn't where it needs to be for the public to really embrace EVs? Well,
they're expensive. They're compared to a regular car. They're limited in what they can do. You can't drive from, you know, Ann Arbor to California and back in a pure EV.
Mm-hmm.
There's just natural limitations for the cars. And it reduces the demand.
Right. What we saw this past year is some of those prices were cut, and yet we still didn't see the sales go up. Typically, when you see a price cut, you see sales go up a lot, but that's not been the case.
If you've just joined us, that was Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com, who's also joined by Michigan Radio's automotive reporter Tracy Samuelton, as we kind of look at what was big in auto news in 2013 and looking ahead to what will be big in 2014. And we move to the next item on our greatest hits list here, and that's Chrysler with that on-again, off-again IPO. Michelle, what is behind that?
Well, when Chrysler came out of bankruptcy, the VEBA, which is the mechanism that the takeover by the union of its health care costs for retirees,
right,
acquired a big chunk of stock of Chrysler. Chrysler Fiat, actually, which is the parent of Chrysler, has been trying to buy that so that they could do an IPO. They've had a huge debate about the price of it. And finally, on New Year's Day, as we were all watching football and hockey,
yeah.
Chrysler announced that it had come to an agreement with the union about the price of that. And so now Chrysler becomes fully owned by Fiat and moves forward here.
And a lot of people think, Mr. Marchionne got a pretty good deal. Overall, he spent about $6.3 billion total, including this most recent transaction for Chrysler. Cerberus spent $7.4 billion to take Chrysler off Daimler's hands. Daimler spent $36 billion. So
pretty good deal.
It looks like a good deal. Of course, the value of the company has been hurt.
Yes.
In that time.
Moving to the fifth item on our list, Ford Motor Company, in particular, Alan Mulally. Whither goest, Alan Mulally? Michelle, are those rumors about Microsoft, do they have legs?
Oh, well, it's had legs in the media, I can
yes,
tell you that.
Yes, it has.
You know, this has been just a haranguing story throughout the year. Is Alan Mulally going to become the next CEO of Microsoft? And he's been a little bit vague about that. He keeps saying he's staying at Ford, but it's not been real firm. I think we'll probably know in the next month or so. Microsoft has said it will announce who the next CEO is. I'm not sure how that will turn out. But I think for the company, it's been a big distraction. And Ford's introducing a lot of new product this year, and I have said that they really need to get the focus off Mr. Mulally and get it onto their products.
Which actually kind of leads us to the next item on our list, and the fact that Ford gained more market share than anyone in 2013. But that sure didn't come easily, did it, Tracy?
No. They're doing very well. The cars that they're selling are being sold at a premium. They're doing really well in terms of getting high transaction prices per car. My sense is that they're still getting some benefit from not having taken the government bailout money. But they've had some big embarrassing things happen, like with their Escape launch, 6 recalls for one car.
Big, big launch.
And they had to downgrade the miles per gallon on their C-Max, their hybrid C-Max, and that was really embarrassing.
And there have been glitches. I know MyTouch was really...
Still.
Not
a problem.
Still a problem. Mm-hmm. And Lincoln. Poor Lincoln.
Mm. Yeah, what do you think, Michelle? I'm going to throw that at you.
Well, Lincoln's got a tough go. They introduced the MKZ as their first product of the new Lincoln. And then we'll see it this next year, the MKC, which is a little sport utility. They're coming late to the luxury party, part of it because they didn't have the money to do anything with Lincoln when it was in its Ford had focused on the Ford brand to get the sales and profits up.
Which is understandable.
Totally understandable, but, you know, it's going to be a slow, difficult slog. I would say, you know, it's going to take a decade or so and a lot of money. The other thing that I think that I'm concerned about plaguing Ford is the launches. The product launches have been very glitchy. They had problems launching the Lincoln MKZ. They announced it in December. It didn't get on the market till spring. There have been some problems, quality problems, and they have not gone unnoticed. My concern with that is, yes, Ford sales are strong. Their pricing is strong. But will shoppers come back to the brand if they have constant troubles with their vehicles?
And I think they're well aware of that. Mark Fields apparently is now holding not just the famous Thursday meetings where they get a whole picture of how the company is doing in just a few hours, but he's holding extra meetings now on Wednesdays simply focused on these launches and quality control. And Mark Fields is in line, we believe, to become the next CEO. So I think they're aware of it, and I think they're working on it.
Moving on to item number 7, and that is something that we've talked about here on Stateside as well. And I'm curious what you guys both see ahead in 2014 for driverless cars. Michelle?
Oh, I think we're going to see. There was a lot of talk and focus on autonomous cars, driverless cars this past year. You know, there's a lot of technology already on the cars that can make that possible. And I think we're only going to hear more and more about it. There's a lot of Governor Snyder just signed into effect a law that will allow testing of driverless cars. There's a lot of the whole connected car experiment that's going on in Ann Arbor. We're all leading up to that. There's a lot of work to be done before it can actually happen because a lot of public policy has to be established, safety, things like that. But we're on our way towards the path to that.
It's going to be a while before these technologies sort of trickle down to less expensive cars. But we see luxury cars now often offering things like automatic braking, and if you veer out of your lane, it'll bring you back in, things like this. And when it does happen on a large scale, I mean, we're going to be seeing a big, I think, reduction in deaths and injuries on the road, because people are really not that good at driving cars.
Well, it might start if we could put down the phones, get
exactly.
them out of our hands, and get our eyes back up on the road, but that's a whole other topic. That was Michigan Radio's automotive reporter, Tracy Samilton, and she's also joined by Michelle Krebs from Edmunds.com as we kind of look at what the upcoming year might bring for the auto industry, stories we might be looking at as 2014 goes on. And another story is that of millennials shunning cars. We have had people on this show who staunchly believe that millennials are keeping away from owning cars. And what do you each think about that? Is it a myth, or is there something to this?
I think it's a myth. And the numbers concede that they are slower at getting into the car market, but there are lots of reasons for that, and it's mostly economic. If you ask millennials if they want a car, they will tell you they do.
Mm-hmm.
But they have been hurt most by the recession. They're burdened with huge college debt. So they're behind on everything. They're behind on forming households. So I think, you know, when they start forming households, you'll see their buying of vehicles pick up. Now, that it could change the way, you know, we're seeing more car sharing like Zipcar and that kind of
sure.
thing. The way they go about buying cars, I think we'll have to adapt.
All right, moving on. You've got your eyes fixed on some hot products. Let's talk, because that's always fun talking about what's hot and what's coming up. Thoughts, please, on the Chevy Corvette.
Beautiful.
I'm a juror on the North American Car of the Year awards. I'm kind of betting that might be this year's winner. It's
stunning.
It's beautiful. It's a technological wonder. And while, you know, you may think it's real expensive compared to a lot of other sports cars that are in the, you know, Porsches and Jaguars that are over $100,000, it's a bargain.
How about this $29,000 Mercedes?
Well, I think that's a game changer. You're going to start that is doing well, and we saw in the Super Bowl, Mercedes advertised a $29,000 Mercedes was coming. It's called the CLA. They're going to do a little crossover based on that same thing. You're going to see BMW and Audi come out with smaller, less expensive cars. It's this whole move for the luxury market to try to get the millennial buyers, younger buyers, into their vehicles, and. It's going to be interesting to watch. It'll make luxury more accessible.
In doing that, exactly what you just said, Michelle, it'll make luxury more accessible. Isn't the whole idea of luxury that it's kind of not accessible
exclusive?
And it's kind of exclusive and somewhat rarefied? Will it cheapen these brands?
That's kind of what I am wondering. That is what I have been wondering, is that, you know, how are the folks who tend to like luxury cars because they are exclusive, how are they going to react to that? So.
Well, that I think that is the interesting test, and I think it's interesting to see a luxury brand move down market. It almost may be easier to move more up market. And we've seen, you know, companies like Hyundai and Kia try to move up market. You know, it's very difficult to stretch the band of your brand.
I just want to mention one car that maybe we'll see by the end of 2014, and I'm really hoping, because it's at the far end, it's the opposite end of what we've been talking about, and that's the Elio. I'm just really crossing my fingers that they find the money to make this car. Never heard of it,
no,
right? It's a two-seater car that could potentially, a three-wheeled vehicle.
Really?
Supposedly safe on the highway, 84 miles per gallon, supposedly. And they're planning to sell it for $6,800. Potentially, you know, something that low-income people could use to actually own a new car for the first time in their lives. And there's a whole, you know, it's very up in the air, because getting a car like that on the road, very expensive enterprise to do it. So, and any number of problems could happen, but I really hope they make it happen.
Well, this is fun. As always, we love getting together and talking cars with Tracy Sambleton, Michigan Radio's automotive reporter. Thank you, Tracy. And from Edmunds.com, Michelle Krebs. It's always a pleasure to have you both on the program.
It's been fun.
Thank you.